Jesus this morning, amen. This Jesus who God raised up and seated at the right hand of God Almighty. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. He is Lord over it all, amen. And because he lives, we have a living hope. Whatever you need this morning, it's found in him. And I want you to open up your hearts and just position yourselves to receive this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you need healing, it's here. If you need freedom, it's here. If you need peace, it's here. It's all here in the name of Jesus. Amen? Just receive. Just begin to receive. Say, Jesus, I receive all that you have for me. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Anyway, good morning. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll be sharing from the whole chapter, but just all I'm going to read to you this morning is verses 1 to 22. So that's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 22. Here Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or some versions say Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then he appeared to the apostles, and last of all, to me also, as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how come some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been risen. And if Christ has not been risen, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, through the resurrection of the dead comes also a man. Life comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. Thank you for your word, Lord. And I pray that you come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, fill this place and speak to us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm sure we've all had those conversations with people. You know, what happens? What happens when you die? What happens? Is that it? Do we just kind of turn off? Is there life after death? And I've had a few of these conversations, and lately I've been having more of them. And so I've titled this, I have two titles for this morning's message, and I need your help because I'm not sure which one I like better. My first title is in the form of a question. Is there life after death? Not bad title? How many like that title? Oh, that's not very encouraging. Okay, here's my second title. I believe in the resurrection. How many like that one? Not much more of a response. Okay. Okay, well, I'll let you choose which one is better. But I remember conducting a funeral service some time ago, and I was pulled aside by a family member who absolutely, adamantly believed that there was no life after death. Was absolutely adamant about it. In fact, he was extremely adamant, and he pulled me aside to warn me. He says, do not talk about this religious stuff in this funeral. I go, what else am I supposed to do? And he says, do not talk about this religious nonsense. I don't want you to be giving false hope to people, because after you die, it's over. And he went into graphic detail to explain just how over it was. I'll never forget that. In this chapter, Paul deals with the problem Christians were having concerning the resurrection of the dead. Evidently, there were teachers who had come into Corinth, and they were claiming that there would be no resurrection of the dead. And the result was people were beginning to abandon their faith, and they were returning to their old way of living. And in verse 33, Paul actually warns them. He says, do not be misled. He says, come back to your senses as you ought to and stop sinning. He says, what are you doing? That's what I wanted to do to this guy. I wanted to just kind of shake him. That's what Paul's doing with the Corinthians believers, kind of shaking them. He said, give your head a shake. What are you doing? And then so Paul begins correcting this area that was creeping into the church and was messing everybody up. You know, on one hand, people are teaching that Christ was resurrected, but on the other hand, these people are saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. And it was messing everybody up. And so the first thing he does, he starts reminding them of the gospel which he had taught them. The gospel they had initially received, and he says they had believed, and on which they had taken their stand. They had, what Paul taught, they had initially taken their stand. It was this gospel that he taught. They had taken their stand even in the face of the gospel, in the face of persecution. And that gospel had, in fact, radically changed their life. I want to go back to chapter 1 for a minute. Listen to what Paul says about the Corinthian believers in chapter 1. He says, I can never stop thanking God for all the wonderful gifts that he has given you that are yours now in Christ. Then he says, he has enriched your whole life. How many here have had their lives enriched? How many online have had your lives enriched? He's enriched your whole life. He has helped you speak out for him, and he has given you full understanding of the truth. And then he says, because what I told you Christ could do for you has happened. What a powerful statement. What I told you Christ could do for you has happened. It's happened. In other words, confirming that the gospel of Christ that we taught you is true. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, because it has had effect on you. Corinthians, remember the gospel that I taught you. And he continues, says, now you have every grace and blessing and every spiritual gift and power. They were experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in their midst. They had every spiritual gift and power for doing his will are yours during the time of waiting. Waiting for what? For the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he guarantees, Paul continues, he guarantees right up to the end that you will be counted free from all sin and guilt on the day he returns. Paul reminds the Corinthians that God, by his Holy Spirit, had been powerfully moving among them, confirming who Jesus was. and the hope that they had in him. And he goes, in other words, the gospel I taught you had profound effect. Corinthians, don't be misled. Don't be misled. So what was the gospel Paul had taught them? We see it in verses 3 and 4. And let me read that to you. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. So the core of the gospel, the good news about Christ, is formed on three historical happenings. Number one, and they're in this following order. Number one, Christ suffered. Number two, Christ died for our sins. He was dead and he was buried. You need to understand, he was dead and he was buried. He wasn't mostly dead, or he wasn't almost dead. You got it. He was completely dead. You know, some like to teach that Christ didn't really die and that somehow the disciples stole his body and resuscitated him. It's not true. The gospel is that Christ suffered, Christ died for our sins, he was dead and was buried, and that Christ was resurrected. Take any one of those out of the gospel and it becomes useless. It has no power. And Paul continues, and I imagine him saying, now listen, and listen carefully. Listen, listen carefully. If you believe there is no resurrection of the dead, then I want you to understand what you are saying. And I have met Christians who struggle with, is there really a resurrection from the dead? I told you about the guy at the funeral, and I've had those kind of people are struggling. What happens when I die? And I don't know. And Paul says, if you believe there is no resurrection from the dead, then understand what you are saying is that not even Christ has been raised. And he says, what about the fact that he's enriched your whole life? Your lives were changed by the power of the Holy Spirit who was moving among you, and we'll see why that's so important in a minute. And he says, dear Corinthians, you faced and endured persecution with full understanding and conviction that faith in Jesus' name guarantees right up to the end that you will be counted free from sin and guilt, and that on the day he returns, you will be for it with him forever. If you take away the resurrection, if Christ was not raised, the gospel becomes false, it becomes and thus it becomes powerless to save those who believe. If Jesus is dead, Paul continues, if Jesus is dead, how can a dead God save us from our sins? If those who have died, then those who have died are lost in Christ. There is no hope, there is no future, there is no purpose. Without the resurrection, all we believe and have been taught becomes meaningless. And as Paul points out, we are to be absolutely pitied for our lifestyle. If there's no resurrection, then we are completely foolish and ignorant people ruled by superstition. We have wasted our time, we have wasted our money, and we have needlessly abstained from so much the world has to offer. You know, I was thinking of this man who faced me at the funeral. I don't know what was going on in his life at that point, but so adamant that there was no resurrection. So adamant that there was no life after death. Verse 29, Paul says to him, if the dead are not raised, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? And he says, I face death every day. And he continues, in Ephesus, I faced overwhelming and life-threatening situations. He says, I faced angry mobs. He says, what was the point of all of that? What's the point of it all if the dead are not raised? Paul continues, if there's no resurrection, we are completely missing God or misrepresenting God. No hope, no peace, no power. No purpose, no future. Completely doomed, ruled over by sin, with only death to look forward to. And what a terrible way to live. What a terrible way to live. And how many people are living like that? However, Paul proclaims. He proclaims. Verse 20, he goes, but. He proclaims, do not be misled. And I imagine him in my mind with all the authority he carries and with his finger wagging and looking at the people. But you need to understand something. Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who are fallen asleep. He says, understand, Christ has been risen from the dead. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all sinned and die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Amen? Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, without believing, we are the most hopeless, sad people that there could be. When people don't believe in the resurrection, how can they live for anything? Where's the hope? There's no purpose. There's no life. There's no meaning. There's nothing. Amen? There's absolutely nothing to live for. Paul says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And he goes, how do we know? How do we know? How do we know that God actually raised Christ from the dead? Let's go back to verses 3 and 4. And he says, For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. The first proof of the resurrection that Paul gives is the Scriptures. Perhaps he had in mind Psalm 16, verse 10, where David said of him, of Jesus, for you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Or perhaps he was thinking of the prophet Isaiah in verse 25, verse 8, as the prophet looking forward penned, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away death. The tears from all faces. Amen. The Gospels record a number of times in which Jesus himself predicted his resurrection. For example, Matthew 17, 22 to 23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life. And then in Mark 8, 31, Jesus began telling his disciples what happened to him. And he said, the nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses will make the Son of Man suffer terribly. He will be rejected and killed. But 3 days later, he will be raised to life. Amen? The first proof Paul gives is the truth of the Scriptures. But then the second proof he gives, and I love this, he begins to give eyewitness accounts. You can't argue with eyewitness accounts, can you? And he says this. Listen to what the first eyewitness he mentions in verse 5 is he mentions Peter. And I want to take you back to Acts, and I want you to listen very carefully to what Peter says about the resurrection. And this is so awesome. He says, you know, the day of Pentecost had come, and there was a sound in the city like the sound of a blowing, a violent wind. And they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire. And there were people, as the Bible says, there were people there for the Passover. There were people there for the Feast of Pentecost. And there were people from every nation under heaven. And listen to this. As this was going on, they heard their own language being spoken, and everyone. So you got this wind, you got these what appear like tongues of fire. You got people hearing their own language being spoken, and everyone is wondering, what is this? What is going on? And so Peter stands up to explain, and this is what he says. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you know yourself. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. This eyewitness now says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, and we just read that in Psalm 16, for you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you allow your holy ones to undergo decay. And then Peter continues, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Hallelujah. Jesus is also the one who's given the Holy Spirit to us. And that's what you are now seeing, he says to them. That's what you're all now seeing and hearing. The same Spirit that was at work at the Corinthians. If Jesus Christ had not risen, he says, it's better that I go for you so I can send the Helper, the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit at work in us is an evidence of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And then Paul, he does something really cool. He then points out that all the disciples were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ. And then he says after that, he, Jesus, appeared to more than 500 at the same time. And Paul is presenting an overwhelming number of witnesses to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Over 500 people have seen him at the same time. And he says, and then to top it off, he says, and I'll paraphrase this a little bit. He says, if you still don't believe me, if you still don't think this is true, if you still don't believe in the resurrection, still don't believe that Jesus rise from the dead, you can go ask them yourself, because most of them are still alive. And I just thought that was so cool, you know. Go ask them. Go see. There are eyewitnesses. There are over 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the last proof he gives is the testimony of his own life. The testimony of his own life. He was affected by the grace of God. He was touched by the power of the risen Savior. And you know what? The testimony of a changed life, filled with the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, is one of the most powerful proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? You cannot deny the power of a changed life. The heart of the gospel that the apostles preach was, God has raised this Jesus, the one who was crucified for our sins, to life, and we are all witnesses. Amen. Hallelujah. I still remember that funeral. I'll never forget, in fact, being accosted, adamantly being told, there is no life after death. Don't give false hope. Don't deceive this people. And I stood up. And I remember that funeral as if it was yesterday. I stood up and I told them about a man. I told them about a man who could help them. And it wasn't till the end I said the name of that man and what he had done. And I remember that funeral as about six people decided that day that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not religious nonsense, that it was actually true, and they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior with the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Amen? That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. In the face of hopelessness, he brings hope. In the face of despair, he brings life. Amen? When there's nothing left to hang on to, he is the anchor in the storm. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is the risen Savior. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the great I am. He is over all, in all, and through all. And he's the one that enables us to stand today with a living hope. His name is Jesus, and he is alive today. Amen? And he's given the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive. And as we put our faith in him, we too shall be raised from the dead. Amen? As we put our faith in him, we too shall be raised from the dead forever to be with him. Yes, there is life after death. Amen? There is life after death. Someone put it to me. I heard a cool phrase, and I hope I get it right. But someone said death, you know, it's a place of exchange. We move from the place where we're dying to the realm where we now are alive. Amen? More alive than we could ever be. Amen? There is life after death because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me close with these awesome words from Paul. This was his concluding words in this chapter to the Corinthians. And I just want to read it to you because this is so awesome. He says, listen. Paul says, listen. Listen up. He says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up with victory. O death, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to our God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We have an unshakable future to look forward to. Amen? There is life after death, to be forever with Jesus Christ. Never lose sight of that, because we can go through this world and we can forget. We face the challenges of that this world has to give us, and we can get caught up into it, and we forget that we have a living hope to look forward to, the resurrection from the dead, to be with Jesus. Because he lives, we too shall live. Amen. Live here, abundant life, all the way through to eternity. Amen. That's our hope. Because he lives, we shall live as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived by anything. Don't be enticed by what this world has to offer. Don't be enticed by the voices out there. Don't be enticed by what anybody else has to say. Stand firm. Stand firm on the gospel that I taught you. Jesus Christ suffered, he died, but he rose again. Stand firm. Don't let anything shake you from the truth. Stand firm. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Stand firm. Maintain the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. And always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. Amen? You know your labor is not in vain. You know what you carry is life. Amen? You know what the message that you carry is life, everlasting life. It's hope, unshakable hope. Amen? It's peace. peace that passes on all understanding. Stand firm. Be unmovable. Be unshakable. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't give yourself over to anything. But stand firm by the power of the gospel at work in your lives. And always give yourself over to the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. The message he has given us is a message of life and everlasting hope. And he declares Jesus Christ is risen. And because he lives, there is life after death. Amen. There's a future to look forward to. Thank you, Jesus, that you have defeated the sting of death, the power of death and sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you have set us free. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us a future to look forward to. Amen. Hallelujah. If we could have the worship team come back. Let's stand together and let's sing. Let's close this service with just a song of rejoicing, giving thanks to our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand together.